Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I started a few days ago entitled Sound the Trumpet. And we were looking at parallels to our present day and age that the children of Israel, as they were conquering the promised land, as they were beginning to enter the land, their first assignment was Jericho. And I saw some really remarkable parallels between the assignment they had to do from the Lord, which was to begin, that was the first city they were required to take. I saw a similarity for the battle and the warfare that we are engaged in today. Beloved, the world is satisfied and self-sufficient. They think they don't want God. They want nothing to do with God. They serve the God of pleasure, the God of mammon, and they are of the belief that just given enough time and evolution and the advances in science, men can become almost godlike. They're even talking about not only postponing death, perhaps just terminating death, just not even, you know, we can live forever. And of course, these great goals of the scientific community, I mean, there's some really wild stuff out there, are foolishness and an abomination in the eyes of God. I mean, they're doing experiments with human DNA and mixing it with animal DNA, and they're doing all sorts of things that are just, that would send your blood cold. And they just do it in the interest of scientific advancement. But beloved, God created the world the way He desired. He made a perfect creation. Everything He made, He saw that it was good. And man that He created in His image and likeness was very good. And we are going to return to that kind of harmony and beauty in the world that God originally intended. And He has allowed evil, apparently, to triumph. It seems to have triumphed, but Jesus has already defeated every host, every evil demon of hell, and we can rejoice in the fact that if we belong to the Lord, we are assured of victory because we belong to Him. The victory is ours because the battle is the Lord's. Praise God. And so as we were looking at the task that Israel was assigned to take Jericho, we saw that there had to be an obedience to the Lord. And one of the things God required, and it was very interesting, we have to go back to the fifth chapter of Joshua, that before they had the victory in terms of Jericho, God had commanded them to do something very specific. Now, this generation was the younger generation that had come out of Egypt, and that older generation had passed away because of their unbelief, and they murmured against the Lord. And in verse 2 of chapter 5, the Lord told Joshua to circumcise the males of Israel, and they did this at Gilgal because they had not done this the 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness, and also they had the Passover. And in verse 9 of Joshua, the fifth chapter, the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." Gilgal means to roll off. And it says, they encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. And then in the 12th chapter, it says, excuse me, the 12th verse, it says that the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, and they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And then we see in that preceding verse, 13, which I shared, the captain of the Lord's host, the pre-incarnate Christ, appears to Joshua, and he champions neither Israel or their adversaries, but as a champion of the Lord's holiness and his uprightness. That was the purpose, that was the function of the presence of the captain of the host, the Lord of the host, if you will. And so we see, what do we see in this? That God was working in behalf of Israel because they had been willing and obedient to renew his covenant that he had established at Gilgal. In other words, they followed through with circumcision, with the Passover, and the manna ceased. And what do we see in this for us? Well, beloved, we see an attitude of submission and rededication. God is bringing judgment upon those who walk in wickedness and perversity. But for those who will hear the word of the Lord, those who will submit themselves to the Lord, they're in rededication, in a willingness to do everything that God asks, there are great victories ahead. And beloved, with your heart, if you have done all that you know to do, if you have consecrated and rededicated yourself to the Lord, that you don't want anything to hold you back, you sense the lateness of the hour, and you're willing to do everything that God asks of you, then don't let the enemy bring any kind of condemnation against you, because the Lord is for you. He'll try in every way he can. He'll bring doubt. He'll bring condemnation. He'll bring an attitude or a feeling of fear or insecurity or inferiority. But beloved, God sent his Son, Jesus, to shed his blood for you. And you are important to the Lord and important to God's kingdom. Now let's move on to the second point I want to share, and that is the victory of faith. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 30, the word says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." And that, of course, 7 days, that's God's perfect number to compass them about, was the measure of faith. It was taking perfect faith, if you will, to see these tremendous walls come down. As I said, they were about 30 feet in height. There were two walls. There was an inner wall that was like 12 feet thick. And beloved, in the natural, there was no way they were going to get into that city. It was a fortified, strong city, strongly defended, almost impregnable. But, you know, as we can see by the dimension of the great walls of Jericho, they had to have great faith, because in the natural, there was no way they were going to climb or get through those walls. And from a military standpoint, the instruction of the captain of the host was ridiculous, and it may have met with ridicule and scorn by the inhabitants of that city. You know, just as Nehemiah was assigned the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, what did Sanballat and his friends, they just mocked Nehemiah. They said, "What do you think you're doing?" But because they obeyed the Lord, beloved, In 52 days, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. And so, beloved, we cannot look at the difficulty of the task. You know, at one point they were discouraged, going back to Nehemiah, because there was so much rubble. But the Lord encouraged them through the prophecy of the prophesying of the prophets and Nehemiah's example, and they were willing to work day and night, and the victory was given. So just in the case of these Israelites, and in our case too, their faith and their feet had to compass the city. And so, beloved, for you, your faith must also compass the object of your desire if you would possess it. Jesus so often said, as recorded in the Gospels, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And it is in the compassing that faith is tried. You know, six basically is the number of man. And as they walked around, you know, nothing would be seen but the huge walls of difficulty. Nothing is felt but human inability. And you might feel that's exactly where you at right now. But beloved, it in the natural, it might look impossible, but your hope, your strength is in God alone. And that's true for the body of Christ. You know, the scriptures say the children of this world are wiser in their generation the children of light. But beloved, not many wise, not many strong in this world were chosen, but the weak, that God might confound the strong, to bring to naught the things that are. Beloved, God has chosen the weak things of the world. He's chosen those that the world has contempt for, that would walk over, that would look over, have no use for. These are the people that God has chosen, those who are meek and humble of heart. Our hope, our strength is in God alone. Now, let's look at what they were asked to do, the priests. There was the blowing of the trumpets, and that was, if you will, the means of faith. Faith uses far different means than the inventions of the carnal mind. The weapons of our faith are the seemingly weak and simple things of God. But, beloved, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look what David did. He used a simple sling and a stone to destroy a fearful giant. And the trumpet of the Word of God must be blown if victory is to be won. It is the Word and will of God. Jericho means a place of fragrance. That root word ruach means to blow, to breathe, to smell. Figuratively, it means to anticipate, to enjoy, to make of quick understanding. And beloved, the silver trumpets that the priest had, and they were used by the priest for the assembly of the people, for military campaigns. And the ram's horn, or the shofar, was used for introducing the jubilee and the sabbatical year. So, beloved, the use of the trumpet has prophetic significance, and it signifies, or typifies, if you will, the work of the preacher, the prophet, and the minister. And let remind you, beloved, that we are all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. Well, my time has flown by, and I have so much yet to share with you, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to tune in on tomorrow's broadcast, and if you feel like you're compassing a Jericho, then if you need the support of agreeing prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to joining and being with you again tomorrow. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,